external things. He's asking the Lord to do things on the inside of these believers. And we talked Sunday morning about how important that is, because what is on the inside ultimately is going to manifest itself on the outside. If things are bad internally, they're going to be bad externally. If they're good internally, they'll be good externally. And Jesus even talked to those Pharisees about how they needed to cleanse first the inside of the cup and the platter. So Paul is praying for things to go on in here. The first request was there in verse 16, that they would be strengthened with might by his Spirit, notice, in the inner man. So he's praying for an inner strength, an inner might. And this comes through the Holy Spirit, strengthened with might by his Spirit. They did not have it within themselves to strengthen themselves internally. The Holy Spirit had to do that. Same is true for us. Whatever strength we have inside, it'll be produced by the Holy Spirit, not by us. Then verse 17 is the second request, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. We talked about that a little bit, and how it's not a request for Christ to come dwell in their body, because he dwells in the body of every believer. It's that he would dwell in their hearts by faith. We talked about it. It being a thing where the Lord occupied their heart, as opposed to their heart being filled with a whole lot of other stuff. Their heart is filled with the Lord Jesus Christ, which is what we all need. But then the next begins in verse 17 and goes through verse 18. He says, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. And that's where we ended. I talked about how he begins this third request by making a statement about our standing. Just look at what he says, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. He doesn't say that you would be rooted and grounded in love. He says that ye being rooted and grounded. In other words, this is your standing. Ye are rooted and grounded in the love of God. That's where we all are as believers. It's our position. We're rooted and we're grounded. It's really a statement about our security as believers. We're rooted and we're grounded in the love of God. Paul talks in Romans 8 about how there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. So we're rooted and grounded in the love of God. And then he gives the request in verse 18. He says that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints. So this is something that he wants all saints to comprehend, that you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. He wants them to comprehend the dimensions of something here, the length, the breadth, the depth, and the height. Now, what would that be? What would he want them to comprehend? Well, I tell you what I believe. He starts out the thing by saying that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. I believe he's wanting them to be able to comprehend the extent to which they are rooted and grounded in the love of God. He wants them to be able to comprehend the extent of their standing, their position in the love of God, and being able to understand that. And notice again, this is an internal thing that you may be able to comprehend. Comprehension has to do with something going on in your mind. You've been able to grasp it, to get a hold of it and understand it. So he's wanting them to understand the extent to which they're rooted and grounded in love. He's wanting them to comprehend where they are, the extent, the great extent to which they are secure in their relationship with the Lord, because they're rooted and grounded in the love of God. That's what I believe about it. But then notice the next one in verse 19. He says, and notice verse 18 ends with a semicolon, So verse 19 is another request. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. Now, that's an interesting statement. He says, I'm praying that you'll know something that passes knowledge. You understand that? That's kind of a weird way of saying something, because he's praying that they'll know something he says they can't know. Because if it passeth knowledge, then that means it goes beyond my knowledge as a human being. I can't really completely, wholly know that as a person if it passeth knowledge. But that's what he prays. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. The love of Christ is so wonderful and so deep and so rich and so awesome that it passes human understanding and human knowledge. And here's what I believe about it. There's a couple of ways you can look at it. When he says, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, you can look at it like this. The love of Christ passes human knowledge. So by myself, I cannot fully know the love of Christ. By myself, I can't. But isn't it possible that the Lord, through His Holy Spirit, could help me to know something that passes my human knowledge? Couldn't He do that? Well, just keep the context. Look at verse 16 again. To be strengthened with might. How? By His Spirit. They couldn't strengthen themselves with might. They did not have that as humans. They couldn't do it, but the Holy Spirit could do it, right? So maybe as just a human being by myself, I can't really get a hold of the love of Christ. But couldn't the Holy Spirit teach me? Couldn't He instruct me? Couldn't He enable me to understand the love of Christ? Absolutely He could. Let me show you something. Go back to the book of Corinthians just a moment. First Corinthians chapter 2. I'll show you kind of why I'm saying what I'm saying here. First Corinthians chapter 2. Now, this is a great passage of Scripture. I want you to pay close attention to it. First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Verse 9. The Bible says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Now, we take that verse a lot of times and we apply it to heaven. And we say, eye hath not seen, ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him in heaven. That's kind of how we apply that thing. But now, keep the verse in the context and notice. Verse 10. But God hath, not God will, God hath revealed them unto us. Isn't that what it says? It says it hadn't entered into our eye or ear or the heart of man what God hath prepared for them that love Him. But then the very next verse He says, but God has revealed them unto us. How'd He do it, though? By His Spirit. So there's an illustration of something that we aren't able to understand on our own, but the Holy Spirit reveals it to us. And the same could be true of the love of Christ. Yes, it passes knowledge. It passes my human knowledge. I don't have it to really get a hold of the love of Christ, but the Holy Spirit could reveal it to me. He could help me to have a comprehension, an understanding of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's something that all of us should desire, something we should want, to know His love better than we know it now, to get as much of an understanding of His love as we possibly can. But I think there's another way you can look at it. When He says, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, When he says to know it, he could be talking about an experiential thing. Like, for example, and I want to be as discreet with what I'm about to say as I can. In the Bible, there's lots of times where it talks about a husband or a man knowing his wife. You know what I'm talking about? And it's talking about a physical relationship, you understand? But it's described how. It says he, like with Adam and Eve, it says, and Adam knew his wife. That's strange terminology. He knew his wife? What do you mean? He didn't know her before that? You understand what I'm saying? So when it says he knew his wife, it's talking about he knew her in a special way, an intimate way. It wasn't like he had never met Eve before until that very moment. He had known Eve in the sense that he knew her, but when it says he knew Eve, y'all know what he's talking about. He knew her in an intimate way. So when he says here to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, yeah, as far as me being able to get it in my mind, I can't do that. It passes my knowledge. So to know the love of Christ could be me to experience that, to know it in an intimate way, to where I see and sense his love manifested toward me in my life. Y'all understand what I'm saying? It's experiencing the love of the Lord perhaps in a way that we haven't before. It could be that, which would require the Lord manifesting his love in various ways toward us, which he has already done so many times before. But it could simply be, when he says to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, it could simply be a request for these believers to know that love in a more intimate way, a more personal way. Experiential type thing is what it could be. For them to learn and understand more deeply how much the love that the Lord loves them. Not just a surface thing. You know, to me, this whole prayer here is about going well below just surface stuff, just shallow things. You know, like the one before that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints, not just what's laying there on the surface, but the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, to really get down in there deep and get a much stronger and greater understanding of it. That's, to me, what this whole prayer is about. So I see that in verse 19. It's just for them to have a richer, deeper, more intimate understanding of the love that the Lord Jesus Christ has for them. Not just on surface things. Not just that materialistic mindset that we have. So often we're bad about equating love with materialism. You know, somebody, you know, gives us some money or gives a gift. We're very shallow, I think, in our understanding of love sometimes. There's a whole lot more to it than just that materialistic stuff. And Paul is praying that they get down deeper and have a richer, deeper understanding of the love that the Lord Jesus Christ has for them. And to me, if you really want to get deeper in this thing, then just get your mind off of material things for a little while anyway. Instead of just saying, you know, I know the Lord loves me because I got a house and I got a car and, you know, I got money in my bank account. Well, all that's wonderful. But look at some other things, deeper stuff. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. See, that's getting down there a little deeper than that materialistic stuff. That's understanding that his love was a sacrificial love, where he poured out his blood and shed his blood and died bearing our sins so we wouldn't have to go to hell. Now, you get to looking at that. And to me, if you can look at Calvary and come away wondering if the Lord loves you, you really need to rethink some things. Because the greatest, I mean, that's the greatest expression of God's love toward us. Hereby perceive we the love of God, John says, because he laid down his life for us. And that's, I think, a lot of what Paul's talking about, just a deeper understanding of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he says in verse 19, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. It's a heavy prayer. I mean, it's just deep, brother. That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. You know what that means? That means for me to be full of whatever God is full of. Filled with all the fullness of God. All the fullness of God filling me is what he's saying. Filled with all the fullness of God to be filled what God is full of. Now, I'm going to show you how that happens. Look over at Colossians with me just a moment. Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1, Paul goes into great detail talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And what he says actually starts back up in verse 13 and comes on down through several verses in this chapter. But one thing that he says about the Lord Jesus is in verse 19. He says, "For it pleased the Father that in him," that is in the Lord Jesus Christ, "should all fullness dwell. It pleased the Father that all fullness dwell in Jesus Christ." Now here's another one. Look at chapter 2, same book, Colossians 2, verse 9. It says about the Lord Jesus, "For in him," that is in the Lord Jesus, "dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." You know what that means? All the fullness of the Godhead. What's the Godhead? That's Father, Son, Holy Spirit, right? So all the fullness of the Godhead. That means everything that is in the Godhead dwells where? In Jesus Christ. In him, that is Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead. So everything there is, all the power, all the might, all the holiness, all the righteousness, all the wrath, all everything. Everything in that Godhead dwells in Jesus Christ. Okay? So when he says back here in Ephesians 3 that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God, where does all the fullness of God dwell? We just saw it. It dwells in Jesus Christ. It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. All the fullness of the Godhead is in Jesus Christ. So if I'm going to be filled, y'all following me here? If I'm going to be filled with all the fullness of God, who am I going to have to be full of? I'm going to have to be full of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because everything, all the fullness of the Godhead is in him. So I can't be filled with all the fullness of God without being full of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has to completely fill me, which is one reason, one big reason why the Bible tells us that we are to be filled with the Spirit. Because that Spirit that dwells inside of us, the Holy Spirit, in the book of Romans chapter 8, is described as the Spirit of Christ. Y'all remember that? If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of him. We talked the other day about how Jesus Christ lives inside of us. Paul said, "Christ liveth in me." He lives in us in the person of the Holy Spirit. So one reason why it's important that we be filled with the Spirit is because that is the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in him dwells all the fullness. The only way that I can be completely full of everything that is in God is to be filled with the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. It has to happen. Now, y'all understand what I said there? I didn't confuse y'all, did I? I hope I didn't anyway. Anyhow, it says, to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Verses 20 and 21 are the conclusion to the prayer, and we don't have time to look at that. So we'll stop and finish those two verses up Sunday and then get on into chapter 4. Any questions about what we looked at today, tonight?